As African economies work to grow and diversify, one area of potential that stands out is investment in the automotive sector. For years, African countries have been importers of vehicles, and yet demand for the same is growing. So why not rather invest in infrastructure that will enable the building of cars in their countries, create value chains, add an element of diversification to the economy, and most importantly, in the process, create skilled and quality jobs? Well, to talk about the potential and what needs to happen to make it possible, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Martin Davies. He's the MD for Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte and leader of its Africa Automotive Industry team. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Davies. Give us some stats. What sort of demand for vehicles are we seeing on the African continent? And as African economies grow and people's incomes rise, what are the forecasts for vehicle demand on the continent?
Thank you. The challenge is that the forecast is relatively robust, but unfortunately it's predominantly imported, dare I say, dumped vehicles in local marketplaces. So in a country like Nigeria, with a population not too far of 200 million people, you'll be shocked to hear that last year, new passenger car sales, were estimated at just below 6,000, which is minimal for the size of population. In comparison, South Africa would sell roughly around about 350,000-odd new passenger car sales per year, at a quarter roughly the size of a population. So not too dissimilar East Africa, of course the numbers are slightly less, but in terms of the total volume sales in Nigeria. But what we seek to enable a new passenger car sales or commercial vehicle sales in the region, there has to be very proactive public policy to offer some sense of protection and encouraging of local industry to emerge and create ultimately what South Africa has, but what many other African countries seek to create, is an automotive ecosystem, if you will. So, you know, an industrialization strategy must be tied to a public policy approach. And I'm afraid that disconnect is hindering industrialization ambitions of many countries across the continent.
When you touch on Nigeria, it's quite interesting that you say such a hugely populated country, the demand for vehicles was only about 6,000. But then I guess that speaks to the way that economy is structured. Only very few people can afford luxury in inverted commas. So what's the point in investing in an economy like that if the vast majority of people don't earn enough to be able to afford a vehicle anyway?
Well, I'm not sure. I think, you know, undoubtedly the liquidity, the capital is in Nigeria. However, everything is informal. And, you know, we're looking at even the per capita. I did a very recent interesting exercise, looked at a comparative country with a per capita level that is very, very similar to Nigeria, and that is Vietnam. And we're looking at $6,000 per capita income. And car sales, new passenger car sales in Vietnam are significantly outstripping. We're talking about 100,000, 125,000 perhaps per year, compared to, as I mentioned, Nigeria's sort of 6,000 new passenger car sort of units. So why the difference here? And I think we're seeing is, again, we have to prevent, countries need to prevent, if they want to industrialize, have to, I'm not talking import substitution here, but to have some level of protection against dump product coming in from abroad. Mm. In Nigeria's case, it's predominantly, you know, second-hand, third-hand cars exported left-hand drive out of the U.S. market, coming in at very, very low cost, if anything. In East Africa, I think Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, these countries, it's right-hand drive vehicles coming in predominantly ex-Japan, traded through Singapore, Dubai. And, you know, I leave this point by saying that if, you know, when you're in Japan's case, you have cars that are forcibly, through legislation, scrapped after, you know, 7 or 8 years of being on the road. So, and the owner has to pay for the scrappage or scrapping of that vehicle. So these vehicles are picked up literally at zero cost and then exported into Africa. And how do you as an African manufacturing country compete with a zero cost product? Mm. You can't.
Absolutely.
So we have to cut off the, as South Africa has done. Yes, it may not be entirely consumer friendly, but you've got to start somewhere. And I don't think it's so much an affordability issue in countries like Nigeria. I think we can certainly grow significant volumes, not prevent all imported cars, but let's say cars under 5 or 6 years of age, and create some breathing space for a new market sector that will encourage OEMs, the big sort of the Fords, the Nissans, the Toyotas, etc., to invest in the country. And equally importantly, bring along all the sort of supplier firms with them, companies like Johnson Controls, Bosch, you know, Sumitomo Rubber, Continental, these firms, which come in and create significant levels of employment. And that's the automotive ecosystem I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Nicely described. You've touched on South Africa many times. I mean, it seems as though the government's automotive policy has done wonders in terms of attracting and securing investment by multinational car manufacturers. And it's often said that this is the one sector where government has seemingly got the policy right.
Entirely correct. It's long-term, i.e. strategic. It's very proactive industrial policy. Practically every other manufacturing sector in our country, we've seen a hollowing out of industry in the last two decades or so, but not in the automotive sector. It now accounts, by most recent calculations, 7.7% of GDP. And the positive knock-on scalability of a sector is significant value. And that has been put in place by long-term policy outlooks. Policy certainty, stability. Our new APDP policy has been negotiated now, according to the Department of Trade and Industry. Recently quoted as 99% there in terms of finality, and it runs through to 2035. So we're giving sort of almost another generation, if you will. It's actually three generations in terms of, you know, human life, but maybe more accurately, it's three generations. Think five, six years of a car's life, effectively. So every 5-6 years, a new generation vehicle comes out. And that's what these big OEMs require to commit the significant levels of capex, of investment, into their factories, into South Africa. We've seen it recently with BMW, we've seen it with Nissan, we've seen it with Ford, we've seen it with Daimler, we've seen Mercedes-Benz. So you're right in saying it's a successful, proactive industrial policy. We need a lot more of that.
Indeed. And then where else on the continent are we beginning to see attempts to industrialize? I did see something not that long ago about East Africa somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, we've traditionally had in the continent resource nationalism, countries being very sort of, you know, nationalistic about resources and beneficiation and the like. We've even seen stock exchange nationalism, where every country wants a stock exchange, no matter how unviable it may be. Mm. We're increasingly seeing sort of automotive nationalism, where every country wants an automotive sector, and clearly that ain't going to happen. It'll happen in bigger countries, South Africa, Nigeria, Morocco, we see it emerging, Egypt, and East Africa, potentially. Smaller countries, I'm afraid, will largely be left by the wayside in terms of this automotive sector creation. That's just commercial reality. But a country like Kenya, sitting at the heart of the East African community, better regional integration, there's a great prospect to grow an automotive ecosystem, again, with proactive policy that needs to take place, with some incentive factored in. We've seen VW recently set up an assembly operation, semi-knockdown, semi-operation in Kigali, in capital of Rwanda. Very early days, small operation, but it's not just about sort of creating the automotive OEMs, not just manufacturing cars anymore, as it is a broader concept of mobility and deriving revenue from this mobility services. Almost like a sort of you're supplying the vehicle, you're supplying maybe the connectivity, the apps available in the vehicle, a sort of Uber type arrangement. And the real challenge really is how do automotive, traditional manufacturing only automotive OEMs start to think about more diversified revenue through this concept of, you know, mobility in frontier market economies such as Rwanda, amongst many others in the region. Hmm. But East Africa, yes, the prognosis is potentially positive, but it talks to how a functional state can put policies in place, and above all, police borders effectively root out corruption and manage public policy as it's intended.
And lastly, Dr. Davies, against the backdrop of potential, where does the fourth industrial revolution fit in, and how can the continent still remain competitive and in tune with vehicles being made across the globe? I ask this in the context of a move away from diesel engines in Europe, for example, and a growing trend for manufacturers to look at building electric cars, because presumably African countries, as well as, you know, as with South Africa, would want to be producing cars that they not only sell domestically, but internationally as well.
This is the real complex issue, and it's so important. I mean, we, again, looking at fuel quality, even South Africa suffers from poor quality fuel, and OEM manufacturers are having to sort of downgrade levels of, you know, engine components to accommodate our poor level fuels, and this applies across the whole region. I'm concerned that, firstly, a lack of investment in fuel quality will over time impede our ability to manufacture in SA. And I think the relatively small size of a market would sort of negate ultimately become too costly for OEMs to have to re-engineer engines to accommodate poor quality fuel. On the EV front, I think there's great opportunity to start to build, as we have in South Africa, I think catalytic converters. These are predominantly for export market. How do we start to get the manufacturing processes of key components, think EV motors, for example, components thereof, manufactured in SA but exported globally? Are we competitive with that? Can we think creatively around this? Think the likes of Industrial Bem Corporation, amongst others, getting involved. I think that's a very interesting conversation. But ultimately, we don't want to see is that as diesel engines get sort of, you know, get phased out, which is what we're seeing in Europe because of environmental concerns, and ultimately Africa becoming once again a dumping ground for old technology. This can only be remedied through good policy, good legislation. And of course, you know, the necessary infrastructure, which you referred to at the beginning of the conversation, that supports the rollout of new so-called new energy vehicles. But again, how do you build an electric vehicle sector when many countries on the continent are so energy starved? We need to be very creative how we do this and how sort of, you know, how new energy and infrastructure and public policy and manufacturing all comes together. And you're right in alluding to the fact that I don't think there's any other sector like automotive where Industry 4.0 is so applicable. And that's a real conversation we should be having.
Well, let's keep that conversation going. Thanks very much, Dr. Martin Davies. He's the MD for Emerging Markets in Africa at Deloitte and leader of its Africa Automotive Industry team.